All right, then, with that, we go into our study session. And I would like to begin by excusing the mayor, who has been attending the National Conference of Mayors back in Washington, D.C., and making some other visits while he's back there. So we will continue the first item to review the agenda for Monday night. 7A through 8G on my first page. Any questions, comments?
7A through which?
Through 8G.
Yeah. 8G. Vice Mayor?
What do you have?
8G.
8G, okay.
Let me open it up and see.
The work gloves, warehouse inventory.
We discussed, we're talking work gloves, but in audit and finance last year, we discussed these types of orders, and is this going to be a glove order that anyone in the city can go from this bank and get it, or is this a glove order for Department A, and we're going to see another glove order from Department Z and everybody else in between? Because remember we talked about that, how we're going to...
Yes.
What's the word?
Vice Mayor, Councilmember, these are gloves that are stacked at the warehouse, and they are drawn upon by a large group of departments. It is not all of our needs, but it is a good majority of the needs for the leather work gloves. We have other contracts for latex gloves and those types of different commodity, different vendors. But so yes, these do accumulate a group of departments' purchases.
So is this like all the leather glove use in the city will go to this department? I understand, obviously, the fire department, police department have latex or whatever. But for leather gloves, are we going to be in a couple months seeing another letter?
There is not another need that rises to this level. No, you will not see another contract come. There may be a few small purchases if somebody needs perhaps a longer length glove or something as small purchases, a couple $100s, but you will not see anything of this nature. This is
everybody,
an accumulation for all departments.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, then. We will move on from 8H through 10A. Go ahead, Dina.
Ms. Mayor. Item 8J.
8J.
The City Edge purchases. Come on, let me have a... And it goes actually for this one and the next one. Are these additional purchases over and above what we approved last year when it was that huge, mega, I'm going to have to faint, bottom line, City Edge report?
I think that's about people here
to ask questions. Okay, cool.
The first one, 8J, I believe, the storage, is the citywide purchase that was planned in the infrastructure improvement and replacement cycle. There's an additional capacity there for City Edge. So I think it's about 80% of that is normal replacement cycle that we would have done anyway, and 20% is additional. The second one is solely for City Edge.
Based on what you did said, is that 20% of that cost, was that included in the big City Edge package that we approved?
Yes, it was part of the overall summary. It was part of the overall budget that we knew we were going to expend.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. This is not a new budget item.
We're doing this and choosing this.
It's not a new budget item. It's just the expenditure of those funds that were authorized.
Cool. Yes.
Do you think that when we do this again, we could like actually show that big bottom line expenditure so you can show that it's coming out of there? You know what I mean? So that
in this particular report, we did in the overall City Edge note that we were going to be buying storage and that you would see a future report related to that storage.
I think what she's asking is just to have a notation in the report that this is part of what was already approved and show how much of that we've been using.
Absolutely.
Yeah, excellent. So that we know and everyone else knows we're not approving even additional monies to the overall City Edge approval.
Going forward, if there's additional expenditure, we'll indicate that it's coming out of the contingency or something that wasn't planned. But if
that'd be great.
But that's also, the contingency actually is in the budget also. Right. We'll indicate exactly where it came from.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you have another question on 8K or that answered?
No,
okay. Very good then. Then 10B through 12. Good, Scott.
I'd just like to mention on 10B, unfortunately, I was out of town when this was discussed by council. I wanted to express my appreciation to staff. There's a lot of hard work you did, particularly in the GIS mapping, to come up with what I think is a pretty fair ordinance that keeps these facilities away from places they shouldn't be, but also spreads the wealth evenly across the city, and in particular making sure they're not just hanging out around the light rail line. So very well done. I'm pleased with the work that was done. Thanks.
Gordon?
Mayor, if I can have a point of clarification. The ordinance that you have before you includes some maximum gross floor areas for the individual facilities. In addition to that, it also includes a requirement, or it gives an allowance, I should say, that if all of those facilities were located in one place, they would not be like penalized in terms of their floor area. They could aggregate all of those floor areas together. So the floor area for the dispensary, plus the floor area for an infusion center, plus the floor area for a cultivation center could be added together. The aggregate of that facility would be 37,500 would be the maximum, as opposed to 25, the maximum of any one individual use. For example, if it was just a cultivation center and they had a dispensary also, the maximum size for the cultivation center would be 25,000 square feet, and they would have to take the dispensary out of that 25,000 if we were to do it the opposite way. What we've done is allowed them to say, you can have the full size of the dispensary, the full size of the infusion center, and the full size of the cultivation center, all at the same site.
Okay. Go ahead, question.
Is there a reason why we limited that to the 25,000 square feet? Was that what they wanted? Is that what everybody else was doing? I can't remember our thought process on that.
The thought on that basically is that you didn't want to have too much, but you didn't want to have such a small facility that you had to have so many of those facilities around the city in order to create enough supply to meet the dispensary demand. So we're trying to balance the requirements.
So if they were bigger, would there be a problem?
Potentially, in terms of the idea basically is that you want to make sure they get enough, but not too much.
Okay. So. All right, and so that was like the recommendation from somebody who studied the whole.
Right, and it was based on some work, some conversations that were coming out of the Tucson debate.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other questions, discussion? All right, thank you, Gordon. And we'll go back to the study session. Yes,
yeah, Nina. I do have one.
You have one more, okay.
Not for Gordon, though, I'm sorry. We went too fast for me. Item 9A.
Okay.
I guess I would, if someone could give a quick explanation of what we're doing there, because it didn't make a lot of, well, it made sense, just not a lot of sense to me.
Good morning, Vice Mayor and Councilmember Higgins. What we're trying to do with that is, in the last couple of years, we've done some transfer of properties to the nonprofits, and in some ways, we've kind of been going, we've been diverting from the criteria that was established back in 2003. So what we want to do now is be more consistent with the way the criteria, which way the council has been applying the criteria. So we changed it to match what has been going on recently. And that was a big reason for doing it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Basically, so they know what the expectations are.
That's
for
correct.
The transfer title. Okay, Dave.
I think it's a really good move too, because as these nonprofits gain title to these properties, number one, we don't have to worry about them on our real estate portfolio anymore. But it also helps increase the capacity of nonprofits. So the next item about the care partnership that helps give them additional financial capacity by owning their property. And gives them an asset that can help them improve their operations. So this is a really good change. The language I thought was pretty well done. So just.
All right. Dennis?
And by way of background information, I was on the council when when the current policy was adopted, and there was some significant debate at that time in terms of the time length and the transfer issues, because Mesa's policy was very different than most communities when using CDBG funds and transferring facilities. And some of us wanted something like this back at that point in time. And I think what we've seen in the years since the original policy was adopted is that the nonprofits have used the properties wisely. Those that have been transferred, we have not had any issues with. And as Councilmember Richin says, it's really important on the balance sheet for these organizations to show this as an asset. And really what we're doing is much more consistent with how most communities in the nation deal with nonprofits and using CDBG funds for property transfers. So I think this is a very good move. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Now then, going back to our study session agenda, we will go to minutes, excuse me, and we have one from the Economic Development Advisory Board meeting from December 7th.
Moved.
Do I have a second? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Go ahead, Dina.
Yeah, we had a Building Stronger Neighborhoods kickoff the other day. I can't remember now what day is today. It was Tuesday night, with over 125 residents that came out to work together with city staff and find out how they can better their neighborhood. It was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Dina?
Vice Mayor, last night I attended the final meeting of the Financing the Future Committee. Thank you very much for all your work and service in chairing that committee. We had a very good presentation going back to outline the recommendations that our committee made to the City Council 5 years ago and an update on the progress. And it is pretty remarkable how so many of the committee recommendations have become policy or law within the City of Mesa and the positive benefits that we've had. It was rewarding to see so many of the committee members come back for the final meeting, including one who came from out of state. That meeting last night was recorded, and it will be broadcast on Channel 11 so that the residents of the community can see and hear the that final progress report. As you noted last night, it was very interesting process over almost 2 years, and all the meetings of the committee were televised at that time. There was a high degree of viewership and interest in what we did, and I think those viewers will be very pleased at the progress report from city staff. But I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for your leadership in that most important role. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate those committee members who did come back out last night. And I want to do a special thank you again to Brian Raines. Even though he has retired, he did me a great favor and put together that report and came back and presented to the committee last night. So that was really nice. Scott.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I attended the board meeting for the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport on behalf of the mayor. One of the more notable presentations that was done there was an economic impact study. It was conducted by ASU on the impact that the airport has on jobs and revenue for the region. The numbers currently, the airport supports some 4,191 jobs, directly or indirectly. It has $187.7 million in payroll and $685 million in total revenue. While the recession has gone on and we've seen a loss of jobs over the past couple of years, particularly since 2008, over the past 2 years, the revenue created by the businesses in that area has increased by 121%, and the number of jobs from 2008 to 2010 that have been touched by the airport, either directly or indirectly, has increased by 45%. I think it goes to demonstrate that the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport is indeed a very smart investment on the part of the cities and the region as a whole. And this isn't just the City of Mesa's impact, but it's the region as a whole has been impacted by that airport. So I would hope that the doctor from ASU who presented this report might come to this council in February and maybe do a short presentation so that everybody can hear the news in full. It was wonderful to hear that news. On a lighter note, many of us participated, Vice Mayor, Councilwoman Higgins, and our new council member. Were you there? Did you miss the boat? Oh, you should have been there.
He was on the sidelines.
He was in the sidelines. Probably glad to be so. We participated in the MLK Day Parade in downtown. Is Chief Beck here? Okay, don't tell him. I drove the antique fire truck. It was awesome. Don't let them watch.
And after the first few starts of popping the clutch, you got
After I popped the clutch a couple of times, I've never seen...
I thought you were trying to throw me off the tailboard.
The thought did not... No, but I have never seen the mayor so terrified. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. I'm qualified. I'm qualified. Thank you, Vice Mayor.
All right. Thank you. Anything else? After attending my final light rail board meeting yesterday, I had the privilege of going down to Chandler and participating in the ribbon cutting of the new link line that runs through Mesa down touching Gilbert and into Chandler all the way down Country Club and Arizona Avenue. So that service will begin on Monday, the new link service, to bring more people up. And what it will do is just keep increasing our ridership at the Sycamore Station on light rail, which we did have a report yesterday. We have already had, I believe our ridership in the first 2 years on light rail is now 24 million, which, again, it just far exceeds any expectation that they had. So it continues to improve, and with the opening of that link service through Chandler, we will just keep improving that ridership. So that's a great deal. Scheduling of meetings, and I excuse our city manager, Chris Brady, who is also out of town, and so the very distinguished Jack Friedline will let us know what we have in store for meetings.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Following this study session, we're going to have an Audit and Finance Committee meeting. And on Monday, January 24th, we'll have a 4:30 study session, followed by a 5:45 p.m. Regular council meeting. And after the council meeting, we'll have a reception for our council member-elect Glover, Councilwoman Higgins, and council member Summers.
Why, what did I do?
We'll find out Monday.
It's what you're going to do again.
Okay.
And you want to celebrate that?
Well, okay. Do we have any items from citizens present?
No requests, Mayor.
Very good, then. Mr. Summers.
If I could add one to the upcoming items, on Monday the 24th, we will be kicking off bus service at 10 a.m. Route 184, finally. Will be opening along Power Road all the way from MCC. So Dina can stop making phone calls, complaining to me about when she's getting
those
bus service.
Anonymous phone calls?
They're not anonymous. all the way down to Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. I think that airport's doing fairly well, if I remember. So if you have the opportunity and you're interested, the bus route will start at 10 a.m., so I look forward to that. Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Jack, one more thing. Isn't there the mayor's breakfast next Thursday?
We do, yes. That will be next Thursday at the Hilton Alma School near Grove.
Okay. Want to make sure. I know there's been a lot of invites out there, but want to make sure people are aware of it. Okay, very good. With that, then, I'll entertain a motion. I need a first. Move by Dennis, second by Scott. You're too quick on the seconds because you're so used to just being told you have a second.
I have a second.
Okay.
You're always first.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.